Don't tell him.
He can hear.
Yes, he can. Flip to Ephesians 6. Alrighty, Ephesians 6. We'll just go ahead and start at verse 11 again, get some context, and get back to where we're going today. So, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And this is what we covered last 4 weeks. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, what we're covering today, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Did someone want to pray for me real quick? Any volunteers?
Someone do it.
I think it's you, Smithy.
Okay. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you just for the time you set aside, or time that is set aside that we could be here. I pray that the kids take this thing serious. I pray that you give Jared the words to say. Prick us where we need to be pricked. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All righty. Starting off strong.
What is this?
We'll get there. We'll get there. It's a mystery. It's exciting. It's, wow. Okay. So let's go quick. Look at a verse that defines a little bit the topic that we're going to discuss today. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 15. This, for those of you that want to put notes in your Bible, like you said, this would be a good cross-reference for you. If any of you need me to slow down or anything for note purposes, just yell at me.
Okay.
I want, yeah, just a blood curdling scream. Don't need any words.
Oh, Lord.
It'll stop me. It'll work. Okay. Romans 10, verse 15 says, and how shall they preach? I'll back up to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How then, or and how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So this is a good cross-reference here. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This verse gives us a little bit more context into what that is. So let's look at this verse real quick. You know, I want to draw a couple attention to a couple of words in here that are key words. How beautiful are the feet, right? When God's talking about people that are prepared to share the gospel, he doesn't say how beautiful are the butts of the people that have the gospel, right? It's feet. What does that imply? That you're standing and moving, right? You know, it's not how beautiful are the stumps. You don't need, you know, it's not how beautiful are the knees even, right? It's how beautiful are the feet. It implies a action. Looking at this further, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. It's not how beautiful are the butts of them that have the gospel, right? It's how beautiful are the people that preach, right? In order to have your feet shod, this is an active thing that you're doing. And then, you know, continuing on, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That last word, bring. Right? This is something that you are carrying with you in your day-to-day life. This is not something that, you know, a lot of us as Christians, we know the gospel. We have the gospel.
Someone trying to join? Am I crazy? It had some pop-up. I don't know. But,
right, we all have the gospel. We all got saved, right? That's kind of required for us to get saved, you know, right? But at the end of the day, are you bringing the gospel places or do you just possess the gospel? That's the difference between someone that has their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel versus someone who doesn't. You know, and this is kind of, I always grew up hearing the phrase, and it's a good phrase, don't get me wrong, but it's taken out of context a lot of times, the phrase that, you know, you should witness, and if you have to, use words, right? People say that phrase often because why? What they're trying to say is that you have to have a good testimony, right? That's the point of that phrase, but I think it gets taken too far sometimes where, you know, fundamentally that's wrong, right? Like, just by being a good person doesn't get anyone saved. I could be the nicest person in the universe, that doesn't get anyone saved, right? Now, it might provoke them to ask me a question, it might do something like that, but at the end of the day, does me being a good person get anyone saved? No. At the end of the day, how shall they hear unless there's a preacher, right? You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Unless we actually use our words, then we're not actually witnessing. You know, and fundamentally, your testimony is there to back up your words. It is not the primary mode of our evangelism, right? We don't evangelize by having a good testimony. We evangelize by using our words backed up by our good testimony. Same way that Jesus did, right? He gave a bunch of words and said, you can trust on me because I'm going to rise from the dead. And then he did, right? He had a good testimony. But at the end of the day, him rising from the dead didn't go any good if I didn't hear about it, if I didn't hear what happened, if I didn't learn the concepts, right? So witnessing and the gospel and preaching and witnessing is all about using your words. And so, you know, if I had the cure to cancer, would you wait for people to ask you for it, right? A lot of us take that approach with our witnessing. Like, I'm just going to live a nice life and someone will ask me why I don't cuss and then it'll be perfect and I'll win them to Christ right there, right? That's not how it works, you know? And it does happen, you know, but like, you're like just hoping that someone comes up and says, well, you don't have any cancer. Wow. That's, you know, what's your secret to not having cancer, right? No one does that. You know, in the same way, you shouldn't expect people to come up and be just like, you know, I'm ready to get saved. What's your philosophy, right? It's not going to happen. At the end of the day, we're going to have to go out there and actually do something. How beautiful are the feet? We got to bring the gospel. Grayson, do you need something to write with and take notes on? Yes? Yes? Do you have a notepad?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Right on. We are just getting started. You are not very far behind. Were you looking for us downstairs, or were you just like at a football game or something? I just want to make sure I didn't, like, abandon you downstairs.
No.
Oh, we're good. Okay. Yeah. I get it, dude. That's me in a nutshell. Alrighty, so that kind of basically sums up how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel, right? That them that have the gospel, them that take it to places, them that bring it to places, them that preach it. So that is, you know, what we're going to be studying. But I don't want to just study a topic, you know, and I don't want to just look at the gospel and say, yep, here it is. Tell someone about it, what we're going to be doing. And this is what this is. Welcome to Sweat. This is, I was asking Kenzie, I'm like, do I need to try to be like Bob? Do I need to like dress up in camo? And then I was like, nah, no one can pull off Bob stuff. So we're not that cool. But we do have a military name. So this is basically what we're going to be going over for the next probably month or 2 months, because we're going to have a baby probably next week. But this is soul winning and evangelism training. So this will be basically a new program that we're doing as a youth team. And so I'm pretty excited about it. This is going to be something that we've never done before. We're going to shake things up a bit, because at the end of the day, you know, I want to get you guys to a point where you can actually do something with your faith, with your witness power, you know, with the power of the Lord in your life. I want you to be able to do something. And I kind of get sick and tired of seeing people sit under good preaching and having good preaching and then people just not putting anything together. And so we're going to put some stuff together. We're going to, you know, take some time and actually get this down. And so explaining Sweat before we get into the actual lesson today. So number one, I want you guys to know that you asked for this. So I looked at all the questions that came in. There's about 500,000 questions of, well, how do I witness to my friends? How do I talk to these people? How do I bring up conversations about sharing my faith? You know, so this is in response to partially, like, you know, kind of cool, like, you know, how the Lord works out. All of a sudden I get all these questions and it's like, bam, the next week. Oh, time to study the gospel, right? And sharing the gospel. So the Lord worked it out super well that you guys asked for this, but then this is also where we are at in the lesson of the study of the whole armor. So have you ever thought that maybe the Lord wants you to learn this stuff? You know, all this stuff's kind of coming together. You know, maybe. So expectations. So yes, there are actual expectations of you are now members of Sweat Training, and you will, well, that's redundant, ATM machine. You're now members of Sweat, and I'm going to do that a million times. there are expectations here. Now, if you guys want to phone it in, that's fine. That's cool. But here's the plan. So, first of all, I expect everybody to be taking notes. Now, once again, if you want to space it, that's your prerogative. I don't care. I'm not going to come beat you up much if you don't take notes, right? But the step one is that we got to take notes, right? This goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago. We're not letting any words fall to the ground, right? If we're going to take the time to lay this out, probably the most slow and grueling walkthrough witnessing that you could ever go through in a sermon series, perfectly aimed at youth kids because that's all the only people that are in here, right? So I expect people to take notes. In addition, there will be, well, I guess I'll clarify here. There's going to be a test, and there's going to be basically, like, if you pass sweat, you will be sweat squad certified, right? You will be basically on an elite team. There might even be patches in the works, okay? But here's the real deal is that this is going to basically be the team that we use. If we need to take people out witnessing somewhere, like, this is who we're going to use. And I'll get into that more in here in just a second. But in order to make it into that sweat squad, in order to pass into that elite group that we're trying to form, you're going to have a couple things in place. Number one, you're going to have to, you know, by the time of the test, I'm going to expect a verse memorized from every single section that we cover, which that might be, you know, one per week or one per every other week, depending on how big these sections are. We're going to basically be breaking down the Romans Road and some other complex topics around getting people saved. And so we're going to look at each of those, and I'm going to expect people to, by the end, not every week, I'm too lazy to track you guys down every week, I don't care. But by the end, I expect a verse to be memorized in each section, because guess what? A lot of your witnessing opportunities, you're not going to have your Bible. And it's going to look real dumb if you have to pull out your phone and Google verses because you don't actually know them, right? It's a lot more powerful when you actually have those verses on total recall. The second thing, I'm going to expect notes in your Bibles, right? There's going to become complicated things. You're going to come up against someone. Bob's going to, you know, this is what happens, right? On a Sunday, Bob gives a message, and you're sitting next to someone, and he goes, hey, go get them saved, you know, and sends you into the back. That's all you get. That you don't get any more warning than that. None, right? That's how, I mean, a lot of you guys have witnessed that. There's a lot of people that have gotten saved in this church where, you know, how did that person get saved? Well, I was standing next to them, and Bob saw me standing next to them and said, go get them saved. Oh, okay. How can you feel comfortable doing that? Well, I've got everything laid out in my Bible. I've got every single note that I could possibly need. So if I get into some kind of situation that I don't have the right verse memorized, it's right there. It's ready to go. And you can actually do some work. Whereas otherwise, you'd have to just be like, what? Well, maybe you can go talk to Bob, right? Like, come talk to my pastor, right? That's, you're losing your opportunity because there are people in your life that the Lord expects you to witness to. And so just saying, well, I'm going to wait for them to come to church and Bob to witness to them, or I'm going to wait for them to come to youth group and Jared will witness to them, right? That's stupid, right? Because you have the relationship with them. So if you're able to have this stuff down, then God will use the opportunities in your own life to be able to witness to people. But if you're not prepared, he's just not going to give them to you. Why would he send in a troop without a gun to go kill someone? He wouldn't. Right? So if you're not prepared, God's not going to give you those opportunities. And then the last step, so verse from every section memorized, notes in your Bible. Then the last thing will be a final test where we'll go over these things, and then you will have to win one of the leaders to Christ in a mock interview, which it'll be off to the side. I'm not going to make you guys do it in front of everyone. But the point being is that we want to actually make this something that you actually have to work at and kind of train for, and you're going to have to work at it. And I know that that's a crazy concept, but here's the point behind that. The cool thing is okay, if you pass sweat, you are now a sweat graduate. That means that you are officially a part of our sweat squad. So when it comes time to go witness in a situation, then we will be able to pull you guys, and we know that you guys can do what you have to do. And then you think about it like this way. If you guys don't take the time to learn how to witness out of this long series that we're going to do, that just tells me that you don't care about it. It tells me that you don't care about the souls of the people around you. It tells me you don't care about witnessing to people in your life. And so why would I take you out and have you witness with people if you don't even care enough to put it together? I mean, let's think about it. In Christianity, what's base one? I got saved. Step one is I should probably be able to share my faith with someone else, right? Yeah, you know, probably step one. And so a lot of us, we spend a lot of time not doing that. It's more fun to study things in the Bible that are kind of, you know, let's study the second coming, let's study the millennium, when in reality, it's like, can you really even say you're on the first rung of Christianity if you can't even get someone saved, right? And so that's why I'm kind of getting serious about this, because I want to be able to use you guys in the ministry. I want you guys to have opportunities in the ministry, and I want you guys to be able to do everything that the Lord wants you to do. But I want you to also realize that that's going to take some effort from you. You know, you're not going to be able to just phone it in. It's like, you know, it's the switch to, you know, none of you guys have experienced this yet, but it's the switch from going from high school to college, is that all of a sudden, hey, if you don't want to do it, no one's going to ask you to turn in that assignment. You know, if you don't want to do it, no one cares, right? And so that's the exact same way in this one. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. But guess what? You won't be a part of the sweat squad. You won't be out there when we need to be, you know, serious and witnessing. Then I'm not going to take you. But here's the cool thing. I've already talked to Bob about this. We are going to, at some point in time, actually, after the test, everybody, I don't know how it's going to work. We're still TBD, right? But at some point in time, we will actually take you guys. We'll make sure we have enough leaders that we can pair off into groups of a leader and a kid. And then we will actually go downtown somewhere. We will actually go practice witnessing with people in the real world, and we will actually go do what we talk about, right? So the reason I tell you all of this stuff now and not later is because I want you to, you know, take it seriously. I don't want you to be surprised when it gets to the end and be like, oh, you were expecting me to remember this stuff? Yes, I'm expecting you to remember this stuff. Why? I mean, what are we doing, right? Like, we don't have that long left on this earth, you guys. You know that. Every one of us knows that. From the preaching that Bob gives us, the preaching we get every Sunday, do you want to spend the last 3 years, last 1 year, last week you have on this earth doing absolutely nothing for the Lord? And do you want to have to, in eternity, see all the friends that you could have had an opportunity to witness to, but the Lord had to use someone else, or the Lord just let them go because you didn't feel like talking to them, right? Here's these things where I just, you know, I wish I was in your guys' shoe again, because guess what? When you get to my age, nobody talks to each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody my age will back me up. There's no such thing as, like, just casual friends in your 30s outside of church. That is, you're just not going to be friends with people. You're not going to have, like, you guys come into contact with 100 kids every single day that need to hear the gospel, right? Me, it's like, if I want to go witness, I kind of have to go, like, down to Restart or go to Walmart, or right? Because I don't have people in my life that I see on a day-to-day basis that I have, like, what? My 5 coworkers that I've already tried to witness to and, you know, hit brick walls on all of them. So all I can do is pray for them, right? But you guys, think about your life. Think about how many people you cross on a day-to-day basis. How many friends that you have or acquaintances that you have. Okay, there it is again. What is it? What is the... It's like, oh, that's what's happening. I'm opening my AirPods. It's switching my AirPods. We're going to take these.
Luke's doing every other word.
Yeah, no joke. You can text me, Luke. I'll see it. So do you guys, I don't know. I think this is exciting because at the end of the day, think about it. If you guys stick with it, if you guys put in, I mean, it's not that much effort. A verse a week, max. Oh, man, like really sweating for the Lord. Yeah, Xavier, you can just bail now. I know, just go downstairs. We don't, I know it's too hard for you. You can go back to Timothy, right? Here's the thing too, right? I was told the other day, okay, you guys that came out of Timothy, anybody come out of Timothy? Do you memorize verses in Timothy? Amen, right? The Timothy kids are memorizing more verses than the youth group. Amen. Great, you know, good job us, right? So this is kind of cool. And I, you know, for those of you that are shy, I get it. I get it. I understand. Nobody is more shy than me. It might seem like I'm not shy anymore, but I mean, well, I'll fight you. I will have a shy off, okay? You know, I was so shy in high school that, like, so I have a twin sister. You guys understand that a twin sister means that, like, you were born on the same day, right? Just clarifying, okay? Right? So I would have people, I was so shy and so, like, unpopular that I would have people, like, cool kids at school be like, hey, tell your sister happy birthday. Like, that's how, like, shy I was. I didn't talk to anybody. You know, I was so shy that, like, you know, my friends always used to make fun of me. Like, if I had to get up and speak, I'd be doing one of these. And so, like, my friends would make fun of me. I remember, like, was it my senior year? I, like, asked a girl to dance with me at the fall ball, right? And then I'm, like, you know, dancing with this chick. And then my friends come up to me and go, hey, Jared, hey, stick your hand out. I'm like, no. They're like, hey, stick your hand out. I'm like, no. They're like, stick your hand out. I'm like, you're not, right? Like, okay, I get it. Like, I'm not, nobody gets it. I'm still shy. I mean, you know, when I have to, like, go talk to some new person at church, like, there's a visitor, there's definitely a moment where you're just like, church, you could do this. Hi, you know, like, you just, like, you have to give yourself a little pump up to get yourself going, right? I'm still shy. That hasn't changed. I've just gotten good at faking it, not being shy. And Anna gets it, and everybody else here that, you know, like, I think, look at your leaders. Kenzie, Drake, Anna, myself. None of us are like, I don't know, Zach, or none of us are going to be doing Wakanda jumps in front of the youth group anytime soon, right? We're all a little shy. So I'm saying I get it, and I'm going to work with you guys. I'm not like trying to force you guys to be this like terrible, uncomfy situation, right? But at the end of the day, right? What's the end goal here? We want to actually do some ministry with this youth group. We want to actually get out there and do something for the Lord. And so guess what? That's uncomfortable sometimes. And so, huh?
If I can add something to that.
Dude, add away. Anytime.
I was going to say, guys, so growing up, I definitely had like my time of like social anxiety, like when I was a teenager. And like, I learned to overcome it, like, especially when it came to like witnessing or like talking to people about the Lord and things like that, because basically what has to happen is like your desire to see someone saved and not go to hell has to be greater than your fear mm-hmm. of talking to them. That's pretty much what
Amen.
It has to come down to, because passion can override fear, it can override anxiety. It's mm-hmm. just how much do you want to care about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything else as a Christian. You'll have growth when you care enough to have that growth. Mm-hmm. But God's not gonna like hand you over growth. He's not gonna hand you over, the ability to do things if you don't even care about it. I mean, that's something you got to think about. It's just like, how bad do I care about people burning in hell? I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just something you have to ask yourself. Like, how much of a burden is that on my heart for my family and my friends to see them burn for eternity? I mean, how bad is that to you? That's really what you have to ask yourself. And when that burden becomes greater than the worry or the anxiety or whatever it is you feel, that's when you'll do it. And it can. Mm-hmm. It's just you have to be willing to allow God to change your heart to do that.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I think about it. Like, did anybody remember the first time their parents, like, you were like, can I go get a milkshake? And they go, here's the money. Go order it. You remember that? Isn't that the worst? And
my
then your
parents still do that.
Oh. But then you're, like, so anxious. You're like, no, why couldn't you just go get the milkshake, right?
I was, like, 11 when my grandmother did that to me at McDonald's, and I was like, I want this.
Yeah. Right, but there's the point. Eventually, you're like, well, I want that dang milkshake. So I'm going to suck it up and go up to the cash register. Can I have a milkshake? You know, like, so exactly the exact same thing is with Drake, right? You have to decide that you care more about the souls of the people around you and care more about doing what the Lord asked you to do than you care about, you know, your comfort. So kind of following that same line, I just want to take a few moments to look at some verses and some things as to just why witness, right? You know, I feel like it's a dumb question to answer, right? Or a dumb question to ask. It's like, well, duh, you're supposed to witness. But let's just look at some verses. Maybe this will encourage us. Flip to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Someone read that for me when you get a chance.
We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
Created unto what? Good works.
Good works.
Exactly, right? Do you realize, I mean, we've talked about this before, that God didn't just leave you down here on the earth after you got saved so that you could just, you know, watch TikTok and eat cake and have a really nice career and meet a nice lady or boy someday and, like, have a family and then die with, you know, your family around you and a big 401k you're not going to use, right? That's not why God left us down here. God left us down here to do good works, right? Because he's not here anymore. He went up. So guess what? Christ is gone. Guess who has to take over of doing the physical works down here? We do. Exactly. Yes. And so number one reason why you got to witness, well, Christ ain't here anymore to do it. It's our job. That's why we're down here, right? Second one, I mean, and Drake hit me with this, what was it, Tuesday? I was just like, oh yeah, that's like a duh reason, right? Right? If we're supposed to be more like Jesus every day, someone who's been through discipleship, what is the will of God for us as saved people? Anyone?
Remembers?
I know. Come on. I know a lot of you have been through discipleship.
I just did that yesterday.
There you go. To be like Christ. Exactly. The will of the Lord for saved people is to be more like Christ every day. So, did Jesus see people saved? Did Jesus witness to people? Did he speak to them? He came to seek and save the lost, right? Yeah? Yeah?
Amen.
Amen. Plain and simple. Like, I mean, do you need any more of an example set for you than that? We talked lots about how, you know, Christ is moved with compassion for people. When he saw people, he had compassion on them. And so kind of what Drake was talking about, too, there's this analogy, you know, Pendulette. Anybody of you guys, like, have you ever seen, like, Fool Us with Penn and Teller, the magicians? Yes. So Pendulette, he's like an outspoken atheist. He's very big atheist. And he had a video that came out when I was in, like, middle school. Basically, someone had tried witnessing to him, so he filmed himself after the fact, after he was thinking about it, and he was like, you know, it was really nice, like, still don't believe a thing this Christian says, but he was like, you know what, that's the first person I've met that actually believes what they say they believe, because, you know, he was like, you know, if I, you know, saw someone in front of a train and I didn't share with them the fact that there's a train coming for them, and he's like, that's not just that I don't care about them, that's that I'm actually, like, borderline hating them, right? You would have to almost hate someone to let them get run over by a train, right? If you see it and it's, like, doesn't cost you anything, hardly, right, to just go warn someone. And so, you know, he likened that to this guy. He was like, yeah, like, I will never believe in Christianity. But he's like, I appreciate that man because he actually says what he, you know, believes what he says and does what he believes. And he's like, you know, that's why I have so much issue with so many Christians, because at the end of the day, he's like, how much do you have to hate someone to just sit in your comfort and then not share the gospel with them if you genuinely believe it's true? And that's always stuck with me, that an unsaved person can have that clear of a realization of, you know, the hypocrisy of Christianity. Another example was that Paul did, right? Paul is literally the example Christian. We are told to do what Paul did because he was our example, literally in the Bible. And so, you know, what would he do? Well, he'd go witness. He'd go into a village. He'd witness. He'd get beaten. He'd get stoned. They would think he was dead. They'd chuck him out of the city. He'd wake up, go, huh, neat. He'd, like, brush himself off, and then he would end up back in that city witnessing at some point, right? This was Paul. This was the guy that's our example. And so, you know, he didn't take it just a little bit seriously. He took it really seriously, right? How much would you have to care about someone's soul to go back after they tried to kill you to witness to him again? I mean, that's some guts right there. And last verse here, I'll just read this one to you. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." How intense would that be to have Paul come to you and say, hey, there's people around you that should know about God, and they don't. And the reason they don't is because of you, and that's shame on you, basically. How intense would that be for Paul to come shame us? And so, you know,
can you say that verse again?
1 Corinthians 15:34. Yep. And so just a couple simple things just to remind us that, like, it's what we exist for. Every example, every picture, every person we're supposed to follow witnessed. And so, you know, we don't, I grew up in a time where, you know, it was, you know, Laodicea was like, yeah, you can just go ahead, you can run the lights for church and you can run the sound system and that's your ministry. And you can just go to sleep happy knowing you're serving the Lord. Guess what? You run the lights at church, you're not getting any souls saved. You know, right? We get this idea that as Christians that it's someone else's job, but it's not. It's our job. Like what I was saying, you know, I can't go to your school. If I go to your school and start witnessing to kids, I'll get tased, right? I'm not, they won't let me into a school full of high schoolers as a bearded white old guy with, you know, with a Bible, right? That's a quick way to get yourself in trouble. And so the only way that we can get, really, the only way that we can really witness to high schoolers is through you guys. And so, you know, this comes down to, you know, we're looking for kids. As always, I've talked about, we want kids who will want to be leaders, kids who want to do stuff. And I'm not talking like Caleb and Jordan. I love Caleb and Jordan, but they're going to be gone in 6 months, right? They're almost done with high school. So I'm looking at all of you other guys that have some time left in high school, that have some time left in, you know, in that stage of life where you can actually do some work there, right? I'm not talking to the old farts. I'm talking to everybody here, that this is something we all should take part in. So next up, I will move to this last thing, which is basically the main key to getting people saved. So the goal of the next few weeks is that we will walk you through kind of each, kind of there's steps in getting people saved, right? You have to make sure they understand this concept to make sure they understand the next concept, to make sure they understand the next concept, to make sure that they get a full picture of salvation. So we are going to take time and walk you through that stuff, give you knowledge, give you wisdom. I've already talked to Drake and Alex to where they're going to, like, everybody, all of your leaders are going to share experiences that we've had witnessing. We're going to share some wisdom. We're going to try to give you everything we can to try to equip you guys as best we can. But that's not the most important thing in soul winning. The knowledge and the wisdom, that's not the thing that actually gets people saved. That's the tools we kind of use, but it's not the thing we get people saved with. So we are going to just rapid fire flip through some verses today and figure out what the most important thing is. So flip to Proverbs 11, verse 30. And we're going to end just going through these verses real fast. And I will say, if you want to pass the sweat test, this will be one of the areas that I will expect you have a verse memorized from. Proverbs 11, verse 30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Hey, I think this is kind of cool, right? What did we just spend a week talking on? What was the last armor? Righteousness. Yeah. What does this say? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. A couple things I want you to, you know, look at this verse before we move on, right? The fruit. It's like the example of like, hey, a tree will produce the fruit that is of it, right? So, you know, and look at this. It doesn't say the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. It says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's about being something, not doing something. That's the key that I want to get here today, is that if you want to win souls, winning souls is not based off the program that you follow. It's not based off the verses you go to. It's not based off the strategy that you devise. Whether you want to win souls or not is based off your intimacy with the Lord. Amen. The Bible, literally, in a chapter of page back in Ephesians chapter 5, likens the church to the bride, right? And Christ is the groom. And so what's the example it's giving? Well, it's like saying, hey, you know, getting people saved, having a spiritual child is the exact same thing. Out of the intimacy of a marriage, a kid is produced. The intimacy you have with the Lord is how you produce spiritual children, get people saved, right? This is how you do this. And so, you know, the first step, if we want to actually win people for Christ, and, you know, I'll admit, I don't think we're probably going to cover this next week because I think Kenzie and I will probably be busy. But so hope that gives us a cool amount of time where we can hopefully take some time and think about this before we meet again and actually start going through this stuff. I see you. I'll come back to you. So take the time, right? What is the fruit of the righteous? If we want to win people, what do we have to do? We have to have intimacy with the Lord. And so, you know, the next few weeks would be a good opportunity to start looking at ourselves and just like, hey, what are ways that I can be more righteous? What are ways that I can get, you know, more in fellowship with the Lord? What are the ways I can have intimacy with him so that then when I actually learn all this knowledge that we're going to learn, that it actually does something? And we'll talk more about the failures of knowledge here in a little bit. What you got, Marcella?
Oh, I was just going to say, on that note, so are we having youth next week?
Yes. Okay. If we have a kid, I appreciate you asking. We are having a kid. If we have a kid before next week, it'll be Drake that will be doing the lesson. So, yes. So, Arch, I know everybody's like, have a baby, get Drake up here. So, next up, flip a few pages to the right, Proverbs 16, verse 1. And I kind of love the way that the Lord works. Just this lesson, it was fun. I ended up talking to Drake and Alex after the Lifeline on Tuesday and just going through some of this stuff, and this kind of changed the way I was looking at things. And I ended up finding all these verses. These all tie together, and I'll show you that as we go through here. And it's just kind of cool when the Bible does that for you. Proverbs 16, verse 1. And this is, you know, my favorite verse for preaching. It says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Hey, what's the breastplate of righteousness protect? The heart. Exactly. That's right. That's what we talked about last week. And this says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord." Pretty plain and simple. And I'm not going to belabor this verse too much. But The idea is, right, if you want to have the words of the Lord, right, if you want the Lord's help in getting the right words out at the right time at the right place, it doesn't come down to learning this and learning that and learning this, right? It comes down to a heart attitude. And if you have a heart attitude set upon the Lord, he'll be able to give you those words. So those of you that have to give lessons someday, those of you that have to give Devo someday, you know, something I learned a long time ago was that, you know, spending more time in prayer, spending more time getting your heart right is way more valuable than spending an extra hour on your lesson, right? If your lesson is at 90% and you've got 2 hours left, stop working on it. Just pray. Get your heart right and he'll give you the words versus spending that whole time trying to make yourself sound real pretty. Like, true righteousness is based off a heart attitude. Next up, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Flipping all over today. First Peter 3, verse 15. All righty. 1 Peter 3, 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Hey, we're still dealing with heart attitude here. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." Right? This is what we just talked about again, too. We've heard that verse a million times, right? That's the verse that we always say where you got to be ready that when someone, you know, asks you why you don't cuss, you can give an answer. And I mean, that's a fine application of that verse. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's not about having knowledge. That's about what? It says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctifying the Lord in your heart will be what makes you ready to give an answer. You've got to stay in fellowship with the Lord. You've got to be on fire. You know, about the time that you all of a sudden get out of fellowship, you'll miss all the opportunities that the Lord wanted you to have because you're not ready, right? If I've got a soldier that forgot his gun at home that day, am I going to send him to combat? No, I might want to send him to combat, but I'm not going to because he's not going to do anything, right? So at the same point in time, if you don't have the right heart attitude, the Lord's not going to send you opportunities because you're just going to screw it up.
Something quick on that.
Yes, sir.
Oh, shoot, 15. So it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer. So if you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, obviously right here, people are going to ask you a reason. So they're going to ask you a reason. One person is going to see one thing that you're doing right. Another person is going to see another thing that you're doing right. So if you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, everyone's going to notice something. But everyone's going to notice a different something. So you got to, essentially, like it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man for everything that they notice.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This goes back to kind of what I was talking about last week, where it was like, you know, people would ask me why I wouldn't drink and I couldn't give them an answer, right? I was floundering. Kind of goes back to that a little bit. Colossians 4, next up, verses 5 and 6. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6.
Colossians
4, verses 5 and 6. So let's look a little bit more at this. This will be a verse on how we're supposed to answer people, right? That last verse was talking about, you know, hey, if we sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, we'll be ready to give an answer. Well, let's look a little bit more in depth. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6 says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Hey, that's step one. That's what we talked about earlier today. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. You have to actually use your feet to go to the people that don't have the gospel. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may be able to know, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Pretty plain and simple. You want to know how to answer the people that have questions for you in life? What do you do? Let your speech, like, walk in wisdom, and then let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So this kind of, we'll cover this here in a little bit, but this is the understanding of, look, you can't just come, we're going to give you knowledge. We're going to give you the steps you have to walk someone down to get someone saved. We're going to give you a lot of tools and a lot of verses. But at the end of the day, you can't just bash someone over the head with that knowledge, right? That's always the example of just, you know, a kid, right? Or actually, you know, here's a good example. We went to Dare to Share. It was the old Laodicean conference. It was basically one of those big conferences that takes place in like a big auditorium, like 10,000 kids show up or 20,000 kids show up or something. And they teach you how to share your faith and then send you out to go share your faith. It's the worst gospel presentation ever. And then what do? They just say, go to the mall, which, I mean, Lincoln, Nebraska is not that big. So when you have like 5,000 kids go to the mall to go witness, like, that people were so pissed. We would go, we walked up to this guy at a kiosk. They were selling like the little pillow pets because that was the big thing back in the day. And like, we went up to the pillow pet guy. We're like, oh, let's go witness to the pillow pet guy. He basically just cussed us out. He was just like, I'm not talking to another one of you Christians. Why? Because kids, we had all the knowledge. They gave us this knowledge, but they didn't give us the like wisdom of like, look, like maybe sometimes you don't, like you got to use wisdom. Maybe, hey, that guy's like already pissed off at Christians. Maybe I'm not going to go do that. Or maybe I've got, you know, an unsaved friend and I'm probably going to approach an unsaved friend different than I'm going to approach a stranger or a saved person or a friend, a family member, right? You know, family, I've seen some great things where, you know, someone has a family member die and they get their family member saved. It happened recently with Taylor Robinson, right? What you were talking about. Yeah. You know, and now when I have a friend that's mother dies, I can't exactly go to them and be like, your mom died so that your family would get saved, right? You know, I can't exactly do that with a friend. Right? But I can do that with some family in some situations. And so what am I trying to say there? There's, you know, what does it say? Let your speech always be with grace seasoned with salt. The salt's a type of the word of God, right? So you always got to be based in the Bible, but that grace is you got to be smarter than, you know, you got to have some wisdom. You can't just go beat people over the head with the Bible like we always want to. Next up, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. This is another good one for any of you guys that find yourself giving a lesson at some point. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. So we were just talking about how to give someone a good answer and how you need wisdom to walk in wisdom to give them that good answer. Now we're going to look at this verse. It says, and my speech... which was speech, you know, seasoned with grace, or seasoned with salt, always with grace. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is another important key factor here, right? If you get someone saved by using, like, apologetics, you'd be like, well, you know, the odds are this. Or if you get someone saved using the logic of the Lord, or like the logic, you know, just pure, I don't know, not math. But if you get someone saved with just that knowledge, you run the risk of them, what, believing your logic more than they believe that God actually exists. So what does he say? He says that he doesn't use enticing words of wisdom. Paul was like the smartest guy in his age, right? He was like the top scholar. He was like, he could have talked the talk, right? You know, that he could have been the scholarly dude that used the $15 words. What did he say? He purposely dumbed down his speech. So that instead of hearing some flowery words and getting saved because they think he sounds so smart, he purposely dumbed down his speech so that at the end of the day, people were just getting witnessed to and saved because they understood the biblical concepts, not because he was sounding so smart and so fancy, right? This is an important thing with your own lessons, right? It's a lot better to, you know, spend a little bit less time trying to figure out how you can sound smart and spend a little bit more time figuring out how you can just get the Lord to give you the right words. That's kind of what I was just talking about. See, obviously all these verses tie together. We're hitting a major thread here in the Bible. All these verses share key words with each other. And lastly here, this is the last verse we'll look at. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9, and 10 says, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is another verse. This ties right back into that first verse, right? At the end of the day, what do we want to do as Christians? We want to be fruitful. We want to have that fruit. We want to bear fruit for the Lord. We want to get people saved. What does it do? Well, what does it say here? It says you got to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What did we talk about last week? That when you that you need wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, all three, in order to have? What did we talk about last week? What did we talk about last week?
Righteousness.
Righteousness, right? And so what was the first verse we looked at tonight? The fruit of the righteous, right? So I just kind of, I mean, I just get excited when you get stuff in the Bible like that, where it just, it's circular, right? Every single verse we've used today, it's all you know you've hit on a thread of something God cares about when all of these verses, all of the key words translate between all of these verses. I've got them all highlighted on my notebook here, but basically there's not a single verse that doesn't tie into the rest of these verses. It's a big old chain. And so when you get those in the Bible, you know that this is something the Lord cares about, and this is something that is proved out. And so what's the main way that we get people saved? What's the main way we witness to people? It's through our relationship with the Word, with God and the Word of God and our intimacy with him, and the fruit is a byproduct of that. So, you know, this verse right here talks about being filled with the knowledge, right? We're going to give you the knowledge to get people saved. Those questions you guys had, how do I start a conversation? You know, what do I walk through someone through? All those things, we're going to give you the knowledge, right? We're going to give you the wisdom. This is that nuance. It's the, hey, maybe I shouldn't go witness to that person right now in that way. Maybe I should just try to pray for him, or maybe I should try to just sow a seed, or, you know, maybe I shouldn't go beat that guy over the head with the Bible while he's in a hard time. Maybe I should just go, you know, put an arm around him and, you know, have compassion on him, or, you know, we'll teach you those situations on how to have wisdom. But the thing that we can't teach you and the thing we can't do for you is we can't do the understanding side of this, because that comes from the relationship you have with the Lord. You know, we can give you the knowledge on how to get someone saved. We can give you the wisdom. But the understanding is seeing how the Lord is moving in that situation. And none of us can, you know, see what the Lord's doing in your life. None of us are at school with you. None of us are in your relationships that you have with your friends. None of us are, you know, none of us can make you have a relationship with the Lord. And so at the end of the day, we'll give you all those things coming up, but it'll all be for nothing. If you memorize all the passages, you take all the notes, you get them in your Bible, but you don't have a relationship with the Lord, or you don't have a fellowship with him, then everything we give you is useless. And so that's why we have to hit that this first week. We have to understand that, you know, hey, we're going to give you all the tools you guys want. We're going to give you, you could ask questions till you turn blue. I don't care if this takes 10 weeks to get through before you guys feel comfortable to go witness. We'll get you guys comfortable to go witness. But at the end of the day, you got to start off at a position where you can have a relationship with the Lord so he can give you the words. He can work with you. He can work on your heart. And so start working on it now, and then when we get to the knowledge, when we get to all those things, you guys will be ready. So, any questions on anything? Cool beans. All righty. I'll pray us out real fast.